If you're taking notes, you can write this down. Title of our conversation today is this: how are you doing? How are you doing? Turn to your neighbor really quickly, look them in the eyes and say, hey, how are you doing? If you're sitting next to your crush, you're welcome. If you're married and you had a fight this morning, you're welcome. If you're an introvert and you're sitting somebody next to somebody that you don't know, you're welcome. If you'd like a subtitle, always have a second title for you. You can write this down: I'm hanging in there. I'm hanging in there. Turn to your other neighbor that you previously ignored and say, hey, I'm hanging in there. Let's go a little deeper. This year, our theme as a church family is as your soul prospers. I wonder today, how is your soul? I would like for us as a church family to sit in this question for a moment and to consider, how is my soul? I wonder today, what would the response be to that question? We're going to read from Psalms today. What I love about Psalms is it gives us the brutal honesty of humanity. See, when we read the book of Psalms and the question is asked, hey, how are you doing? The answer that is given is not a superficial, oh, I'm good. I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm hanging in there. No, the book of Psalms is full of honest prayers of, I'm barely hanging on. I don't know if I'm gonna make it through today. We see the honest prayers of people saying, God, where are you? We see poems of desperation. We see songs of God's goodness in the midst of painful darkness. And church, no matter who you are today, in every campus, we can find our story articulated in the book of Psalms. No matter who you are today, you can find yourself in the book of Psalms. You can see yourself. I recently got to take my son to a World Cup game. It was the USA versus Australia. And many of you know I was born in Australia, but I was rescued and brought to the promised land of the United States of America. And so you best believe we were cheering for America. And America won. But I was reminded that when I go to sports games, when I go to these games, and we want to be on the TV. I want to see myself on the so I'm holding lock up. We had matching outfits. I'm just hoping that we could somehow be on TV. It's texting Brooke. I'm like, do you see us? And then I was also hoping that we would be on the big screen in the stadium. You know, when it comes time for people to dance, I can't dance, but I'll try. I want to see myself on the screen. What am I saying today, church? Church, as we read Psalms today, every one of us, we can see ourselves in the big screen of God's word. You can see yourself in the book of Psalms. No matter what you are going through, we find our story. We see the pain, the sin, the betrayal, the heartbreak, the distance, the suffering prayed out in Psalms. And while many Psalms cry out to God, what is significant about the Psalm we're reading today is it can speak for us. This is a Psalm worth praying, declaring, reading every day. This Psalm we're about to read, this is a Psalm of gratitude. If you had a grandmother who was a believer, there's a good chance that this psalm was somewhere in art form in her house. Maybe even in the bathroom. Before we read, King David writes as a king, and he's looking back over the testimony of his life. Psalm 23 says this: the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Verse 3, he refreshes my soul. I know there are people here today and you are in desperate need for your soul to be refreshed. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake, to give him glory. And then verse 4, we're reminded that even in quiet waters, even in green pastures, it does not exclude us as believers from difficulty in life. Verse 4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, we will walk through dark valleys in this life as believers. But what I love that we're reminded, what we're just read, even in a dark valley, that I can be led to quiet, still waters, that I can find refuge in God, even in the dark valley. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Did you know that God Almighty is with you today? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God's correcting and his discipline is for the benefit of my soul. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You ever been to dinner with one of your enemies? So for some of us, that was last Thanksgiving. You prepare a table before me. Think about this, church. In the presence of my enemies. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. And in the dark valley and in the presence of my enemies, my cup overflows. My soul is fulfilled. And I'm not just full, but I'm overflowing in such a way that whoever I come into contact to, that they might experience God. Verse 6, surely your goodness and love will follow me. I wonder today, what's following you? You know that feeling when you're driving and the police lights come on? And yet as believers, we have a different feeling. Goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. This is an important word, forever. Why don't we pray? In all of our campuses, let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for our church that we get to call our home. And all of our campuses is one big family. We come before you today, God, and we ask for more of you. Why? Because we need you. We come before you in humility and we admit, God, we need you. We came to church today to lift up your name. We came to church today for the truth of your word. We came to church today to encounter your presence. And Holy Spirit, for me personally, as I prayed this morning, I pray again, God, I need you. Holy Spirit, I need your grace, your power, your authority, your anointing. Without you, I am nothing. I cannot do this without you. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Can we give Jacob a hand? We love you, Jacob. For our campuses watching, Jacob was playing the piano because it just sounds more spiritual when he plays the piano. Psalm 23 is more than a verse on a wall, and it's more than a nice verse to memorize. David gives us this prayer. Church, hear me today. David gives us this prayer that can change us. And in case you have forgotten, this book, this Bible, it is the living, breathing word of God. It changes us. This gospel that we preach, it doesn't make bad people good. It makes dead people alive. It gives me a new heart. And anytime I read the word of God, and anytime I approach Psalm 23, it can bring hope in the midst of my darkness. It can lift a weary soul, and it ushers It can even usher comfort when a human soul is up against death's door. And as David reflects on his life, the faithfulness of God and his own sin, his own trouble, many of this trouble was his own doing. Much of this trouble was the evil actions of other people against him. David considers the goodness of God that he worships. Today, may we consider the goodness of God. May we consider as a church family, may we consider the goodness of God. I wonder how thankful are we today for this gospel? How thankful? How thankful are we for this gospel? How long can we go before we forget, if not for the grace of God? Where would I be? How thankful are we? God, thank you that you saved me, that you rescued me, that you've forgiven me, that you've called me. And even when I mess up again, you forgive me. You call me. You have mercy for me every morning. How thankful are we? How thankful are we for this gospel? Today, as we read Psalm 23, may we consider the goodness of God again. We're going to see how far we get into this scripture. I have a feeling we're not going to get past verse 2. Now, we've got fun things planned at all of our campuses after this service. Verse 1 says this, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing." David starts with the Lord. David starts with acknowledging who he is crying out to, who he's worshiping, who he is considering. And David, we read Lord, but that's not what David said. David says the name of God that was first introduced to Moses at the burning bush. David says, Yahweh. Church, I have a name. My name, if we haven't met, is Josh. And because of my Australian origin, I've had many nicknames. Australians love nicknames. One of my Australian nicknames, we would say Josho. Australians would say Josho. They do that thing with their head too, Josho. Or Joshy boy. That was reserved for few. I had the nickname Jay, JK. In the streets of Virginia Beach, Jay Money. My gamer tag and rapper name was JWizzy757. In high school, I had the nickname Socceroo. As a young boy, my dad gave me the nickname Harry, not to be confused with Harry, which is ironic because I'm losing my hair. But there is one nickname that I had that when it was used, it carried greater significance than all the rest, had greater authority, greater weight, because there were a few people who were able to say this name. And when it was said, it meant that I was in serious trouble. When my mother ever said, Joshua, stop me in my tracks. It meant something deeper than Josh, or as my mother often said, my favorite son. She never said that. If the name Joshua was used, things were different. And we cannot miss what David calls God here because it is different. Of all the names David could have used to address God, the name David chooses is Yahweh. And as David looks back at his life and the faithfulness of God, he could only use one name in reflection, Yahweh. What is Yahweh? God first introduces himself with this name to Moses at the burning bush. And God says, I am Yahweh. I am that I am. Not I will be. Not I might be, not I was, I am. David reminds himself, and we are reminded today, that our God simply is. Yahweh is not dependent on any outside force for his existence. Yahweh is not dependent on anything or anyone for his validation. God, Yahweh, is outside of time. God was, God is, and God will forever be. And God chooses to reveal his eternal sovereign nature to Moses. Catch this, church, within the context of how close he is. That Almighty Yahweh, he is with Moses in his doubt and in his trouble. Church, our mighty holy God is always present. Not sometimes. He is always present. Closer than you think. What is Yahweh? Yahweh is sovereign. Yahweh is our deliverer. And Yahweh makes a promise that he always keeps. I am with you. This is the name that David addresses the Lord, Yahweh. And the next three words are still humbling me as I grasp the goodness of this truth. David says, Yahweh is my shepherd. What is Yahweh? He is a shepherd. This God that we worship, Yahweh, he is our shepherd. Of all the shepherds that we could have, that Yahweh could be our shepherd. Like, God, I get to have you. God, you want to have me. You want to shepherd me. David was a shepherd. He knows when he writes this, he knows the nature, the job, the work, the character of what a shepherd is. The shepherd cares for, guides, protects, corrects, rescues, and leads his sheep. And the shepherd knows his sheep. He knows the character, the nature, and the tendencies of his flock. The shepherd knows without him and his guidance that sheep are not just prone, but it is in their nature to wander and go astray. Church, without the Lord as my shepherd, how quickly I wander from the safety of his staff, from the safety of his flock, this church community that he's called me to, how quickly my mind goes astray from the truth of his word. How quickly my heart drifts from his refuge, from his ways, from his truth. Yeah. I'm reminded that when the Lord corrects and protects me, it is for the benefit of my soul. The Bible says the Lord disciplines those he loves, which makes me wonder. If the Holy Spirit isn't correcting me, if God's word is not challenging me, who is my shepherd? I also want to point out, David is a king. He's the king of Israel. There is no higher title that he could possess. He is the shepherd of God's people. And yet David shows us something very important, that even as a king on earth, he is simply a sheep in need of a shepherd in Yahweh. So no matter who we are today, no matter how important we think we are, we need Yahweh. We need a shepherd. It is easier to consider the need of a shepherd when we feel like we've lost everything. But when we start gaining success is when we must be careful to not wade in the prideful waters of I don't need him anymore. Church, I wonder who is your shepherd? In all of our campuses, Richmond, Wilson, Norfolk, Seaboard, who is your shepherd? Is your shepherd money? Is your shepherd people? Is your shepherd politics? Is your shepherd fear? What is leading and guiding your soul? Is it your career? Is it your family? Is it comfort? What is guiding your soul today? What is correcting your soul today? What is sustaining your soul? Before we move on, there's this word that David uses that I would like to suggest is just as important as Yahweh and just as important as shepherd. David does not say Yahweh is a shepherd. He doesn't say David is the shepherd. David says Yahweh is my shepherd. When I meet people with my wife, Brooke, I don't say, hey, it's nice to meet you guys. This is Brooke, the wife. I also don't say, hey, this is Brooke, a wife. You'd be like, what kind of church is this? I say, this is my wife who God has blessed me with. She is my wife. Can I get an amen? Just in case you're wondering. Church, this is the disconnect in American church culture today that the devil loves. Because for too many, Yahweh is simply a shepherd, not my shepherd. And the enemy is fine if we attend church casually and even acknowledge our faith online, as long as our lives reflect Yahweh is simply a shepherd at times. Or he is our shepherd when it is favorable for me. But David reminds us, he is my shepherd. In all and through it all, he is my shepherd. I wonder today, church, is he your shepherd? Church, we see the gospel in this word, my, that we can approach a holy, perfect God, Almighty Yahweh, and he so cares for me that when I was astray, the shepherd laid his life down for me so that I could know what it is to call him my shepherd. What does this word do to your spirit today? That our God, that your God, that my God is close and personal and involved, cares about every little detail of my life, my heart, and my mind. Have we forgotten the divine reality that God is with us? As we worship today, his spirit is here. As we gather today, he inhabits the praises of his people. As we leave the building today, his Holy Spirit is within us. When we wake up tomorrow, Almighty Yahweh awaits you. Waits for you to wake up. Says, I'm here to lead you and guide you and be your shepherd. If Yahweh can be my shepherd, this verse changes everything about my life. Every part of it. Y'all still with me? And as we celebrate 250 years as a nation this weekend, I'm thankful for the nation God has called us to. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I'm thankful. Thankful for our military. I'm thankful for our military families. We love you. We honor you. I personally have loved seeing all the different nations for the World Cup visiting America and how much they love being here. Posting about what the media has told them doesn't seem to be true. Ranch will change your life. Waffle House, taste and see that the Lord is good. Huh. I saw a video yesterday of over 500 Australians chanting in excitement to visit Walmart. As we celebrate freedom this weekend, David reveals to us a deeper freedom with maybe the most significant statement in this scripture. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Another translation says, I shall not want. Notice he lacks nothing after the Lord is his shepherd. Church, how do we know that Yahweh is really my shepherd? When my wants are satisfied in him. When my soul is satisfied in him, I lack nothing. My soul wants nothing else outside of him. How is this type of freedom possible for your soul today? Because in surrendering of everything, he satisfies my soul. My soul prospers when it is satisfied in King Jesus. And yet we live in a world and a culture that is in constant wanting. We get the house, it's not long before we want a bigger one. We get the car, it's not long before we want a nicer one. And church, hear me today, there's nothing wrong with having the house or the car. But what I would like to ask us today is, what is the source of that want? I wonder, what do you want this year? Think about that. What do you really want? When the Lord is my shepherd, leading me, guiding me, when I'm following him, he supplies, hear me, church, the wants of my soul. All that I need. David says, I lack nothing. Do we believe that today? That we could say, I lack nothing. Can we say that today? Can we say that with conviction? I lack nothing. Church, I can't always say that. I lack nothing. Don't miss this. He's talking about his soul. And it is in this place of freedom, if we don't get the car, even if we don't get the house or the next thing, even if I think I need it or want it, if God doesn't supply it, then I don't need it. If God wanted me to have it, he'd supply it. And so I am free to be content in him. I'm free to want more of Jesus. I'm free because of, regardless of whatever comes or whatever goes, my soul is satisfied in him alone. Can I get an amen? And by the way, this is when giving and being generous becomes cheerful. The Bible says the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Tithing takes on a new level of conviction when my soul lacks nothing. Holy Spirit, if you speak to me to give something away, then I don't need it. And I get to reflect who you are. You will supply all my needs. Amen. Since I bring up tithing, I want to address this, because how often I hear this in culture today, how often I hear that I can't afford to tithe. I have two thoughts for us to consider. Number one, I've been to too many third world countries with churches full of people who can figure out to tithe. The issue, this is important, church, the issue is that not that we can't afford to tithe, maybe the issue is that we aren't stewarding the 90. Maybe there are some wants that are hemorrhaging the 90%. The biblical teaching of tithing isn't just to bring 10. It is also to steward the 90. I'll move on because I can tell y'all love that. What is real freedom in every campus today? What is real freedom? That we're free from sin. Free from our past, and free from constantly wanting. That our souls, church, that our souls can be free today. I lack nothing. So when somebody asks, how are you doing? How odd would it be to say, I lack nothing? They would say, what? Say, I know. Come meet Jesus. This is the glory of Christ. That everything in the natural can be taken, but I have everything in him. This summer, what do we want, church? What do we want? More of Christ or more stuff? The more I want Christ, the more I want his ways, the more I want his word, the more satisfied I become in him. We're going to close. We'll read verse 2, maybe 3. As we close, David says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. The shepherd, David says, he makes me. It's not a nice suggestion. He makes me lie down. The shepherd has the authority and leadership not to suggest to lie down, but to make the sheep lie down. Why? Because the shepherd knows the capacity of the sheep's strength. Fun fact about sheep. Sheep rarely lie down because they are constantly in fear and anxiety from predators. That describes a lot of human souls that I know, including mine. In constant fear and anxiety. And it is only when a sheep believes that they are abundantly safe from danger, it is then they have the courage to lie down. The good shepherd, he knows that we need to lie down. I'm 35 now. I love lying down. I've reached the stage in my life, my Instagram algorithm is just a bunch of chiropractors teaching me how to fix my lower back pain. But David is not talking about a Tempur-Pedic mattress. He is talking about the state of our soul. Our souls need rest. Because if they don't get it, if our soul does not get it, it cannot get back up. Have you ever had a weary soul? And our shepherd gives us rest, even in the midst of difficulty, that we can find safety in his refuge, even when life is painful. Even in seasons of darkness and pain, he doesn't just make us lie down anywhere. It is in green pastures. What is the point of green pastures with sheep? So they can eat. Church, what does your soul need to eat? The word of God. Maybe the reason my soul is tired is because I'm feeding it everything but the word of God. Another fun fact about sheep, sheep will keep eating even after the grass is gone. And so if they don't have a shepherd to lead them and guide them to green pastures, they will start eating the dirt and they will get sick. Maybe my soul is sick because I've been eating the dirt of social media. Maybe my soul is riddled with anxiety because I am eating the dirt of gossip. Because I'm eating the dirt of political news. I'm eating the dirt of Facebook comments. And all it does is make me sick. And yet God offers his word every day. His word. The green pasture is his word. That at any point in my life, I can lie down in his word and it restores my soul. This has been a season in my life where God in his mercy has made me lie down. I've shared this with our Great Neck campus. I'm going to share it again. I want to share it with all of our campuses. These last 2 years, I found anxiety overwhelm my life. An anxiety that I had never known. And it got to the point where I had a panic attack. It got to the point where my nervous system was shutting down. I was trying to carry things in my own strength that I could not carry on my own. And it got to the point where I finally broke down in front of my wife, Brooke. And I finally brought to the surface to the help that I needed. Went to my pastors, a great Christian counselor. Oh, and the green pasture. And God in his mercy made me lie down. And a painful revelation I discovered in this season of my life is I thought my soul was satisfied. Friend, it was not satisfied in him. And the gift of God's mercy is now. Church, hear me now. The only reason I'm standing today is because he made me lie down in his word. I can't go one day without his word, without his presence, without prayer in him. There were some days. The only reason I made it through was because he made me lie down in his word. And I know I said as we close, but this time I mean it. We don't have time for this, but we'll talk about this next week, at least here. All the other campuses, you get to hear from your amazing campus pastors next week. David says, he leads me beside quiet waters, verse 3. He gives us the purpose. He refreshes my soul. The point that David reminds us, the benefit of lying down in green pasture, the benefit of being led by the shepherd, is to refresh your soul. And so I ask again, here in every campus, I ask, how are you? How are you doing? The beauty of the church is that we don't have to come into this place and pretend like I'm blessed and highly favored. There's people in this room today, and your cry of your heart is, I'm barely hanging on. I don't know how to get through today. Yahweh is here. Friend, not to make you feel good, to restore your soul. And as we do this summer challenge and we read these devotionals, may we learn to eat again what renews our strength. His word. You receive the word?